for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah. We are here in the building.
Word up.
Yeah. We are in the spot, in the place to be, in your ear canal again. Another week. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, my brother.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Good to hear that, brother. Good to hear.
Uh-huh. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right, man. I can't complain. I mean, I could, but nobody listening.
I mean, that's the typical black thing.
You know what I mean? Shit. You know. But I'm kicking it, man. I'm chilling out. What am I doing? Not regular, degular, everyday shit. Nothing too crazy. I wish I could just hit you with an opening story, but I have nothing at the moment.
Regular, degular.
I am chilling, man. What's up with you?
Hey, nah, man. I just got back from the A.
Oh, yeah? You went to the One Fest?
No, actually, I didn't. That's a shout out to Jason Carter, who went to Fan U with us.
He created that?
Yeah, it's
shout out festival. To him.
I mean, and it's his 10th year. It's huge. It was probably his best year.
Oh, I didn't know it was the 10th year.
Yeah, it's his 10th year. And I mean, you know, I always, every time he pop up on my social feed or every time I see him, you know what I'm saying, I always give that man his props because he did it against the grain. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Atlanta was hot Atlanta, and you know what I'm saying, it was AG and the big super clubs and the bottles and BMF and all that shit. He was doing like the soul nights and shit, you know what I'm saying? Like the DJ Jamad type of vibe nights and shit. And then when he started One Music Fest, it was like, it was, you know what I'm saying? It was kind of counterculture to the pop culture.
Right.
And he grew that shit. Now it's like 30,000 strong.
Dope.
You know what I'm saying? With all kind of art. And it's not even like he got a Coachella like Beyonce is there or nothing like that. But it's still like the way he put it together and curates it, him and whoever the team is, the way they curate it, it gives everybody enough to you know what I'm saying, to celebrate and come together and do it, you know?
Yeah.
So I always tip my hat to the man. Shout out to Jason Carter.
Yeah,
on One Music Fest. But no, I wasn't there. I had to come back.
Homie DJ Sense was DJing at the One Music Fest. I thought about fucking with it. I'd heard about it. It looked like it was lit. I'd never known it was 10 years old. Shout out to that.
Yeah, it was 10 years this year. Because, like I said, it was a counterculture type of thing. It was like Janelle Monae before she was Janelle Monae.
Right. You and to that point, shout out to the DJ Jamad, too, because that's a, wow, he took it back.
Yeah.
Jamad definitely is his own vibe. But to that point, I don't know if I would. It could be. I mean, probably is. But I don't think it's that far of a risk to say Atlanta's the capital of not only black mainstream culture but black counterculture.
A lot.
You know what I mean? They've been that for years and years and years.
For super long. Shout out to Joy and you know what I'm saying. All what she was doing in Dallas, Austin. What he was doing outside of just his pop hits.
Oh,
you know?
Funk Jazz Cafe and shit like that.
So, I want to say that Jason was part of that in the beginning.
Okay.
I think that's where he started. I don't want to lie.
Yeah.
But it was the same vibe.
He know where he started.
You know what I'm saying? It was the same. It was along those
was
same lines. And I think he was down with that shit and then split off. I think it split off into two directions.
Right.
And Jason, he started Soul Fusion. That was his shit.
Okay, I remember
Soul
that.
Fusion. It's just, you know what I'm saying? Just a little neo-soul moment. You know what I mean?
Fusion. Yeah. A little fusion.
And you know what I'm saying? And it was like, it's like you said, and it was in between like the counterculture and the big mainstream shit.
Right.
But it was a nice vibe, and he always stayed true to it. He didn't waver and try to be one thing. You know what I'm saying? He was doing the lounge shit before the lounge shit became the shit to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's always good to see, you know what I'm saying, a pioneer persevere, you know what I'm saying, stay true to his vision and then make it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a shout out to Jason Carter.
Shout out to that man. Congratulations.
Word out.
Yeah. So you were in Atlanta, though, but you weren't
I was
there.
In Atlanta for a Bombay situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was that?
That was kind of dope because, you know, I've been saying for a couple years that the photo booth has taken over the event.
That is the event.
That
now,
is
right?
the event. You know what I'm saying? So
just
it's like
backdrop.
Right. So now some of these marketers are catering to that. You know what I'm saying? So how you have like Candytopia and you know what I'm saying, whatever, the room shit, and you know what I'm saying, Instagrammable spaces.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You open the restaurant, it better be Instagrammable. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what people come, take their picture.
Right. Your food needs to be Instagrammable. Your
food need to be, you need a backdrop, a good backdrop for them, you know what I'm saying? Somewhere where you can do a good selfie with good light. A
little sign or something.
You know what I'm saying? A little sign with, you know, a little foliage, a fake bush.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? How they had them fake bush walls.
Yeah.
So basically what Bombay did was they they created the spaces within one big space, and kind of took everybody who came through a little immersion of, you know, the things that make up their brand, their product. Okay. So, and it was like it went through all your senses: sight, smell, taste, touch. You know what I'm saying? So you go in one part, you know, you walk through this. It's almost like a forest, but it's like these ribbons and shit with their colors. But then it had like the herbs and shit that they use in it hanging from it. You know what I'm saying? So you walk through that, and then they give you a presentation on the herbs. You know what I'm saying? They talk it to you, you know what I'm saying, over the speakers and shit. Then you go in the next spot, and then they have all
the smell. You can smell the herbs
and
all
smell,
that.
So okay. It's like they had these, you know, like the little, like vaporizers. Under these glass things, and you could see the smoke is coming up, and then you lift it up, and then you could smell that particular spice that goes into it. So it's like, I guess, 12 spices or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, you go into another room, and then you could taste it. And then you had to, you know, you had you had a host that's kind of walking you through the taste and what it is. And then you go into the next room, it's the big party.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, and then you go in there, it's a big party, you drinking, da da da. And they did it in two parts. They did it, one like was the regular consumers, and then they did the first half with just bartenders.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like bar owners and bartenders and shit. So it was pretty dope to watch a brand kind of sell itself to, you know, the people who are going to be using it and the people who are going to be selling it.
Right.
And people who already know what it is. So how do you sell something to somebody who already knows what your thing is? So you got to go deeper.
So about to the bartenders? Or
yeah,
to the
bartenders. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it ain't like Bombay a new drink. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's not like, you know, the new watermelon Ciroc.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's been
Have you had that yet?
Nah, but I heard it's dope.
It's official. And they already moved on now to fucking grape Ciroc. I've been telling you this
shit. For
the fall.
For the fall.
Fucking high-end quarter waters. No doubt. But keep going.
But you know what I'm saying? So Bombay been around. I know I've seen old people drinking that shit since I was a kid.
Yo, Bombay and grapefruit juice. If you haven't done it, do that. That's official. I'm not even a gin head, but that
with the gin,
That takes the edge off the gin, and it's crisp. It's a good summer drink. I think I've talked about it here before. Mm-hmm. Greyhound, I think it's called. But go ahead.
So, you know what I'm saying? It was interesting to watch them do it, you know what I mean? And to see the people's response. And to see how, you know, just even, you know, you got grown people who are in the business going to the spaces and doing the selfies and taking pictures, posting them, saying so it works. It's like, you know what I'm saying, the fried chicken of experiences.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Motherfuckers gonna do it. No matter how sophisticated, no matter how, you know what I mean? So that's always interesting to watch because as a marketer myself and, you know what I'm saying, that has ideas and plans and dreams and shit, sometimes you don't do shit because you're like, oh, people not gonna like,
right.
That's too simple.
Right.
But you get in that room, motherfuckers do that shit.
They have fun. You can't be jaded. Yeah, they have a good time.
They having a good time. And shit, sometimes all you need is a pretty picture.
That's it. It's proof.
You know what I mean?
That's what that shit be. And I'm sure, you know, on a certain level, it's two. It's one, it's appreciating the bartenders, you know what I mean, of the area. And then at the same time, you kind of indicating who the cool bartenders is by being in the mix. Because there's a bartender that got FOMO at the house.
Right, yeah.
And didn't get that look.
Definitely. And then it's weird because, you know what I'm saying, they was always like, yeah, you know, the bartender culture in Atlanta is real small. It was like, that's something you never think about. Right. I never thought about the bartender
culture. Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then it was weird because after we went to the bar, you know what I'm saying, around my homeboy John's way, and it's a little spot, Little Spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there before. But then, it's like a, what's this? This is a Thursday night. It's a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's getting late. You know what I'm saying? It's about 5-6 people at the bar. And
how shit, big is the spot? A little small spot?
It's a little small spot. Probably okay. Like a 150 people spot.
Okay.
But it's like a little small bar.
Yeah.
And three out of five of motherfuckers was bartenders coming from other bars to see their friend. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, so you could see it in real life, some shit that I would have never paid attention to.
Wasn't even hip to that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, damn, that's some crazy ass shit. Like the bartender life.
That's their little after hours.
You know what I'm saying?
That'd be a nice little story.
Yeah, it's like, it's,
you know, all of that. All of them, you know, we always talk about that shit, but all of those little subcultures that seem to be hidden to the naked eye, you know what I mean? Right. Until you in it or you engage with it, that shit is totally, it's right under your nose,
right.
But you would never know.
Right.
Man, that shit, it's kind of fly.
Yeah, it's always weird like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, first, when we used to go to Atlanta back in the day, and we used to go bowling, like, late at night. Like,
yeah.
4 or 5 in the morning and shit.
Damn.
And the whole bowling alley has turned into strippers getting off work.
Right.
Drug dealers.
Right.
And the gay community.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like.
The whole, that's like a Waffle House.
That's the, yeah, but it's like a big ass bowling alley. Like,
right.
Like, all the regular people leave, and then the people of the night come in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, this motherfucker's getting up to go to work right now.
Right.
And these motherfuckers is you know, doing a nightcap.
Having it cracking. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Shit is dope. Oh, man. That shit sound fun, though. Sound like a good time out there.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, man. It's pretty cool. Hey. I made my flight this time. Last time, I missed my flight.
Oh, yeah?
On that old early-ass 6 o'clock flight.
You missed your flight, and you was sitting there, though, right? Wasn't you?
Nah. Okay. I never missed my flight sitting there.
I did that once.
I missed my flight sleeping.
I don't know how that happened. Did I miss the shit, or I damn near missed it? It felt like they was boarding on the low. I'm looking at motherfucker, and I didn't see nothing happen. Then I looked, and it was like, yo, boarding is about to be over. I had to jump my ass on there. I'm almost positive. I forget what it was.
It was an early flight?
Nah, I don't know what it was. A connected flight.
You was tired or some shit?
Nah, I think it was one of those things. Sometimes you get the connected flight, and then they switched the gate like 2 or 3 times and delay it, and no, we over here. That ain't the gate no more. That was gate 7.
Right.
You still at gate 14. That was two gates ago.
Right.
Nigga, somebody should have told you at the Raleigh gate. You try to get to New York,
right.
And you look up like, oh, shit. And you know, you trying to charge your phone, or you listening to whatever. You trying not to be in the airport when you in the airport. And, one of those.
Yeah, my shit was, you know what I'm saying, didn't charge my phone, set your alarm.
To that p.m. instead of the a.m.?
This shit, by the time it get there, you're dead. I'm thinking, I ain't using this bitch. I got, what, 12%? I'll make it.
Yeah.
Shit.
You know what I appreciate about the older iPhones? Speaking of that, when your iPhone die, that shit feel dead. Like, you know that little mouse button, that little home button.
When what that you shit, say, the old iPhone?
The older, I mean, not the new.
I mean,
the new
approved. That's what I got.
I got one with a home button. When you got a home button, it's an old iPhone.
Yeah,
that's
one of the first
indications.
Yeah.
So I got a, but when that shit go dead, that shit is in, what is that little state where they, not catatonic, but where they go rigor mortis.
Yeah,
your iPhone is like, you're like, oh, damn. Serve me well. Your iPhone be dead than a motherfucker. You gotta get some help for that shit. It's over. But speaking of
that's the little life they throw into these little
technology
pieces.
What do they call that shit? They call there's a haptics.
Right.
Haptics or whatever. But anyway, speaking of the old iPhone hustle, they got the newest and the new ones, they got the 11 Pro, the 11 Pro Max, and I think the regular 11. And if I'm not mistaken, the 11 regular, that's like the little C. Remember they used to have the C-class iPhones with the different colors? I think those are $700 to start. And then the Pro and the Max starting at a G.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that ain't new.
It ain't new, but it's like goodness. And then the funny shit is now they added another fucking camera. So now there's three.
Right.
The shit's starting to look like, you know, you go to the Jamaican parties with the sound system. It's a little sound clash.
Right.
That's what the back of your iPhone gonna look like, a wall of speakers.
Yeah. I'm in the market, but you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure. I didn't watch the press release today. I was actually in the Apple store this afternoon and overheard them talking about the date. But okay. I didn't go look. I saw, you know, the chatter about the three cameras and shit like that.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. I think Apple got me in a situation. I'm in tune for everything. Now I need a new desktop, laptop, phone.
Yeah.
So I'm fucked up out here.
They got you. They got so, you. They got me too. And I hate it. I want some cooler shit to come through.
So I'm like, I'm glad there's a drop, but not glad.
So you can justify it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But not glad that I got to do it. You know what I'm saying? Not glad that I got to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that there's a drop when I have to do it.
Right. That's true. Because you don't want to cop heavy.
Right.
And then the drop come 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later. Because after the 2 week, they don't respect it no more. I think in 2 weeks, you could kind of say, hey, yo,
right.
I didn't know y'all was dropping that. I need to double back. They'll say, all right, true.
All right. So, you know what I'm saying? So I'm in that era, like, oh.
I've been feeling that way with the MacBook Pro. It's about time for me to update it. They've updated the MacBook Pro a couple times, but nothing crazy. The biggest thing they've been doing, in my estimation, is they put that touch bar on there, which I've been hearing is just a gimmick. Right. You know what I mean? And it's not anything technology-wise much of an upgrade than the one that I got. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I kind of feel like they fucked up. Not fucked up, but I feel like they might not have got as much traction as they wanted to out of this Pro, so they might throw another one out. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of holding on.
Right.
But I've been holding on for a couple seasons, so I don't know. I don't know. We're playing chicken right now. I don't know who's going to drop first.
And it's crazy because, like, in my case, you know what I'm saying, with video,
yeah,
I got to max my shits pretty much out. As far as like the MacBook Pro, especially, right. You know what I'm saying.
Do you do your video? You do your video on a desktop though,
desktop
right?
Desktop mostly, but then when you're on the road, you know what I'm saying.
You gotta do it on the spot.
You gotta do it on the spot, and then you know, like right now, my desktop is on the Fritz.
Mm.
I gotta do it on a laptop, right. And then you know what I'm saying. That shit is lacking. Like, hey man, hey, I ain't for all this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like shit.
I just tried to put Adobe Premiere on my joint. I downloaded it, you know, to try it out. That shit won't even open on my shit. Well, it took a long time. That shit was taking a minute. I forgot it was, yeah, so we'll,
you know,
see.
Yeah, so yeah. It's like, I don't know if it's the upgrade that they got my shit slowed down, but all of a sudden.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
my shit is doing. Like, brother, you do.
The new iPhone. The fever don't feel like it used to be.
Nah. You know what I mean? There's too many of them. There's so many drops.
It's just as Jordans.
You know what I'm saying?
This is way more expensive Jordans. That'd be crazy if we, and I'm sure this will happen. And I'm sure it's already happened for the fucking, the physical media nerds. Mm-hmm. But after a while, old iPhones, retro iPhones are going to be in demand. You know what I mean? Flipping them, outfitting them. You know what I mean? Like people, I'm trying to tell you, I can see, you know, I see how this shit go. When it happened, you know.
I'll be looking at my goddamn razor like shit.
When it's going to come back in style?
Not when it should look like it's in style. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? When you try to charge that bitch up, then you realize, hey, this ain't what it is.
This ain't what it's going to be.
You know what I'm saying? But it looks sleek. I would rock that bitch right now.
Razor was a fly one.
You know what I'm saying? Like, am I shit in good condition? It look good. It's the black one, too.
You know what I'm saying? That's a good, if we had to follow through, or the producers, no shots at our producer. We got a producer, but we had some producers in this motherfucker. We could do some shit. Well, we could do some shit if we wanted to do. It would be a cool little, what do you call it, like a bracket system or just a little, like a retrospective of the dopest cell phone silhouettes over the last 20 years.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah.
There's a few pieces. Yeah, you know, you got pieces. Your StarTAC, you got your Razor.
The Razor came through. Razor was really the new StarTAC without the fat back battery.
Yeah, it had that same attitude.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you got to keep that time port going on, even though that wasn't pretty. It wasn't a phone per se.
Nah, it wasn't a phone.
And so you can't. I mean, that's that.
Like, Time Point was in the league of its own. Motorola fucked up. They had the game on Smash.
BlackBerry had a nice little run too, and they had some nice little silhouettes.
Yeah,
they had some nice. They would have. They would have.
Blueberry. Remember the Blueberry?
The Blueberry was fire. That was the shit to have. It was like, oh,
but the Blueberry still connect.
Yeah, out of country. What else? Anything we missing? I don't really look at any of them Galaxy phones.
Who Galaxy?
I don't really look at them.
Who was the Galaxy?
Yeah, the Samsungs and all of that. Oh, the Androids and all of that. Y'all do that.
We don't skip all that.
Yeah.
But you know. Who else? I mean, the original brick.
The old school drug dealer joint.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's classic and iconic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then there was a whole slew of fucking phones in between once they started.
Sidekick. Sidekick a phone or no?
Yeah, it was a phone.
Okay,
Sidekick. It was weird to use. That's when people started using the headphone shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The Sidekick was a weird phone.
Right. It had that nice little flip out. I never had a Sidekick, but I saw it from before. I was like, all right, that's kind of cool.
It felt more toyish than Time Port.
Had a little video game vibe to
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, once I got my... my Razor, I was straight. I had the silver Razor first, then mm-hmm. I got the black Razor,
mm-hmm.
then the iPhones came out.
Yeah.
I went from the Razor to I did not jump in the iPhone era of the first generation.
Yeah.
Because AT&T played me.
Oh, yeah?
I was on the phone, iPhones came out and shit. I'm on the phone with AT&T. We going through this shit, you know what I'm saying? You know, they had all these kind of checks and shit for you to get the iPhone and shit, all kind of credit checks and blase skip. So we went through all that. Was on the phone with these motherfuckers for about an hour. And then we got down to the last shit. He was like, okay, everything's good, da-da-da-da, just need address to ship it to. Gave him my address. Oh, no, can't send it to you. Dad, your neighborhood's been redlined for fraud or some shit. Like, what the fuck is you talking about? Redlined for shit just... How is redlined for fraud? This shit just came out.
Today.
You know what I'm saying? Shit like last week. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You motherfuckers. So he was like, yeah, I can't. I'm sorry. You're going to have to go in the store and da-da-da-da.
Damn. You couldn't have it sent to the office?
I wasn't at the office no more.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? So I ain't had no other shit to send it to. But I was so mad.
Yeah, that's whack.
You know what I'm saying? That, you know what I'm saying?
Discriminated.
I was being discriminated against. And, you know what I'm saying? They had wasted all my motherfucking time. We was on the phone for all these hours, for an hour, going through all this shit, nigga, double checking all my history and all this shit. And just for you to tell me you can't send it to me? I boycotted that shit for a long time. I ain't had no iPhone to iPhone 4. I think it was 4.
Yeah, I don't remember my first iPhone.
And I had all late. Apple products.
I didn't get the iPhone early on because I didn't jump all the way. I could see it coming. I'm the reluctant early adopter. I respect what y'all doing. Right. I see y'all adopting. Not yet. You know what I mean? And then it was still, BlackBerry was still kind of running a little bit.
Yeah, BlackBerry still had a run. That's what I went back to. I just went back to a BlackBerry.
I think, because the iPhone always had the touch screen from the door though, right? Or no?
Yeah, that's what it was all about.
That was the whole thing, right? Yeah, I forget which iPhone was it that I got in on. But once you get in, it was a redact. I think, actually, I might have got a secondhand iPhone. That guy, I think my brother gave me his old iPhone, mm-hmm. and that got me in the game.
Right.
And then I was once you win the Apple game, boy, they got you.
I was like, fuck them, because it wasn't really Apple. You know what I'm saying? Because you had to deal with AT&T. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I had been with AT&T, and I switched out on them. I was like, you know what? Fuck y'all. Fuck this whole shit. I had the BlackBerry because that's when you had a phone and a BlackBerry because you ain't really. You know what I'm saying? Had the phone plan on your BlackBerry. You just had your data plan. So when I bought my BlackBerry, it was a T-Mobile BlackBerry, but it just had it didn't have a phone. I didn't have like phone service on it. It was just like emails and shit like that.
Okay.
And so, but it had a number.
Right.
And then,
but you just didn't use it as a phone, or wasn't
activated?
Didn't
use it as a phone. Didn't use it as a phone.
I remember a lot of people had.
You know what I'm saying? Because you had a BlackBerry and a phone, and then. I was just like, man, fuck it. I'm going to just turn my BlackBerry on to a phone and fuck AT&T.
Mm.
And that's what I did.
Took a stand.
Yep.
Where'd you go?
What you mean, where I go?
Where you go from AT&T? Where'd you go?
My BlackBerry was already with T-Mobile. Oh, I had an AT&T phone and a T-Mobile BlackBerry.
I see, left and went to T-Mobile.
Because remember, the BlackBerries had dropped, right? The Blueberries dropped. And I bought my Blueberry from this nigga that used to work at Def Jam.
Okay.
So it was like,
gonna credit him?
This nigga, I can't remember his name.
Oh my God.
See, because in my mind, I think it's one person, nigga. But I don't think that was him.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Because he looked like this other cat. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
So I don't want to credit the wrong cat.
Right.
But he used to work at Def Jam, and he had the plug on the BlackBerry.
Okay.
He's like, yo, I got the Blueberries, I'm like, right. Oh, shit, let me.
Low?
He was like, is it legit? He's like, yeah, it's legit. You just, you know what I'm saying? Once you buy it from me, you just call it and have it turned on.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, So I caught one from him. So it was with T-Mobile. I ain't really had no relationship with T-Mobile other than, you know what I'm saying? I bought this BlackBerry, and that's where the service was at.
Mm-hmm.
So. After AT&T trip, I was like, fuck it, and went and turned the BlueBerry on, and that was that. That's the shit.
TMO.BlackBerry.net. I remember that shit. You had to delete a lot of that shit in 09. That shit was stacked.
TMO.BlackBerry.net.
Yeah, AT&T.BlackBerry.net, all of that old VZW. Yeah. Oh, man.
Then T-Mobile had the that shit you was talking about.
The Sidekick?
The Sidekick.
Yeah, that was there.
They had the lock on the Sidekick.
That was there. That's kind of what kicked the door open for them. Just like Boost kind of really benefited from the Chirp, even though what had the before Boost? Something that Nextel had the Chirp.
Nextel, which turned into Sprint.
Right.
Yeah, Nextel, Chirp.
Mm-hmm.
I missed the Chirp era.
The Chirp era was a different type of era. My homie, shout out to my man D, he used to have the Chirp. That nigga used to love the Chirp. It was just adult walkie talkies.
Right.
Air. That's all it was. It was nothing else.
Yeah, just, you had to be a certain age to enjoy the Chirp.
Yeah.
You ain't no grown motherfucker with the Chirp in your pocket. Nigga.
Now, the Chirp had a moment, though. The Chirp had a summer, like the Charger. You know what I mean? It was a few things where it was like, yo.
You mean like the Dodge Charger?
The Charger had a, you
still
know.
Niggas who no, it did, but the
you
Charger.
Know. You know when the Charger had its moment, though. The Charger had a fucking summer where it was like, nigga, everybody had a Charger.
I think the Challenger came and took over.
All that shit. But,
it's a nigga with a Charger right now, fucking mad as shit.
So, nigga,
on the
what?
Other nah, fuck out of here.
Nigga, this shit still hot. Shout out to you, man. I know how that feel, man. I had Rick Ross slander my Accord back in the day. Nigga, I wasn't fucking with him for 36 months. Slandered my Accord right when I got my lease. Nigga, I was so proud of myself. He shitted on it.
Not you personally.
Not, man, I took it personal.
Just on the Accord itself.
Yeah, he didn't know we had beef. But, yeah, man. Had to be ill, though. Some of the illest silhouettes. If we missed a silhouette or if we ain't shout out a dope-ass cell phone, hit us in the comments, man. You know. I see I got the peoples responding to that Righteous Gemstones recommendation. Shout out to Major Morris. She said she done binged it so crazy that she fell asleep at the job. You know, I salute you.
And you just shot her whole name out.
And I said, Major. Hey. Major, I hope she ain't in the military. where it's really important for you to be alert. But what else? Then I got a couple people hit me up about this the one tab challenge. I've been holding to it. It's been tough.
You've been holding to it?
I've been holding to it for the most part. I'll catch myself slipping. More often than not, what'll happen is I'll be on one site, like I was looking at like flights and shit like that. You'll click on a flight and then it'll just open up a thing with the whole situation. So it wasn't like you called for that new tab. That's what happens.
Right,
sometimes some tabs just be involuntarily opening up and then you just
under open.
Right. So that once you break the seal, you know what I mean? Now you got 40 tabs open again. So I've been quick to like, oh no, bing, bing, bing. And I feel like, you know, I'm just trying to be more on task. I think this is kind of helping the focus because it's like, you know, before you finish up and because the whole thing with the multiple tabs is now I'm hopscotching. Now I'm like, all right, bet. I'm gonna come back to that, but I'm gonna leave that open because I'm coming back to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might have four paragraphs left in this article, rather than open another tab and lead them four paragraphs for 3 weeks, let me get through these four paragraphs, get to the end of the situation. So, yeah, man. Yeah, the one tab challenge. If you're playing along, man, hashtag me, one tab challenge. Let me know if you out here, how's it going for you? Yeah, you know.
It ain't going well for me.
You ain't fucking with that?
I mean, I didn't even try it. I already know.
Oh, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got to.
I'd be multitasking, per se.
Yeah.
That's what I want to call it.
right. That's the justification, you know, man.
I want to call it that.
Yeah. Shout out to Ro is Famous. He out there trying to survive in the one tab world.
No doubt.
Shit. What else is going on, man?
They out here slandering my homeboy.
Your homeboy, for real, for my Antonio Brown?
Yeah, man.
Are they slandering him?
Yeah, I feel
like he's winning.
He is winning, but okay, they slandered the shit out of him. You know what I'm saying?
Who's they? Talk to me.
The people, the media, the Twitters. Even on my Facebook, the people from Miami was like, what the fuck is this thing? Like, when he asked for a trade, you know, Miami people, they was going in. Like, we don't raise niggas like that to leave money on the table, man. This nigga about to, you know what I'm saying? This nigga crazy. You know what I'm saying? This nigga's a fool. This nigga, you know what I'm saying? It's just back to back. And I was like, wait, hold up. And I don't, you know, I haven't been watching the NFL.
Yeah.
So I needed to catch up. I needed to figure out what was what. I needed to see what was the other side of this shit. You know what I'm saying? So I started looking him up, you know what I'm saying? And then he had just dropped this video.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That would look like a Nike commercial and shit.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this is dope. Oh, hold up, man. This nigga ain't as crazy as people trying to make
him seem.
Nigga
getting with a nice little videographer, getting this shit together.
I was like, hold up, let me go check this situation
out. It was
a
leverage viral.
Exactly. So I started looking more into him, and, you know, I had to start from scratch. You know what I'm saying? I Googled. What makes Antonio Brown so good?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You had to go all the way, 101.
Yeah, I had to figure out what was this. You know what I'm saying?
Stats.
So I'm looking at his stats like, yeah, this is good. I watched his highlight. His highlights, career highlights. I'm like, oh, he out here getting it. He dope.
Right.
So then, all right, bang, bang, bang. And as I'm watching the highlights, you know, something else happened. I'm on my phone now. I'm doing some shit. And you know how YouTube keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? After one video in, they start a new one.
Right.
And then the next video came up, and then I hear the dude come in like, you know, a brief history of the Antonio Brown Ben Roethlisberger beef. I'm like, this is interesting.
Right.
So he started breaking it down of how, where their relationship with Pittsburgh kind of deteriorated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's SB site who did the video, but anyway, it was like Ben Roethlisberger had this thing where he did radio interviews every week,
right?
You know what I'm saying? And during these interviews, he was known for throwing
his
teammates under the bus. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he make a mistake, he known for kind of positioning it as if it was, you know, somebody's fault. Even if it was, it's like, damn.
Right.
So I'm like, hold, pause. You know
SB Nation.
Yeah, SB Nation. So I had to pause because everything that's been I've been hearing and I've been watching on the TV and listening to on the motherfucking clips and shit is how he's so selfish. And this was the worst display of sportsmanship in the history of NFL. And you know what I'm saying? It's like he's just this villain. Like he it kind of gets slavish after a while too, because it's like he can't go over there and act like that with Belichick. You know what I'm saying? Right. Belichick don't play that. He keep his niggas in line. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, damn,
big whip.
It's like this shit is getting kind of slavish. What's going on?
Right.
You know what
I'm saying?
So I go, I'm thinking, okay, now they're saying how he's selfish and he puts things out on social media and he can't stay off of Instagram and Instagram stories and he recorded the coach in the locker room and shit and all that shit. Then I go watch this video and it's talking about how Ben Roethlisberger is throwing cats under the bus, especially him, at a certain point after this one particular play, and started throwing him under the bus publicly. You know what I'm saying? To the point where it's like, damn, dog, like, you the quarterback of the fucking team. And then he had, in one case, he had a response like, well, I've earned the right to criticize my motherfucking teammates and shit.
I'm like, yeah, I saw that.
That's fucking privileged. You know what I'm saying? But you never hear that. Like, in this conversation, when he used social media to get up out of Pittsburgh, you don't hear how Pittsburgh used social media, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
To drag his name through the mud. So, for me, I was like, oh, I see how this shit work. You know what I'm saying? Because anytime you hear when a player, and it started with the decision with LeBron. Mm-hmm. That's when I started paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. When a guy busts his own move and don't use the proper channels to do it, you know what I'm saying? Then there's a big-ass problem with that.
You don't defer.
You know what I'm saying? It's a big-ass problem with that. And I'm like, how is everybody 100% against this dude for busting the move that he busts? And then I'm like, the shit was done so sweet, he couldn't have did the shit by himself. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Why ain't nobody talking about
his agent?
Matt's favorite coach, the cheating ass.
Who, Belichick?
Yeah, Belichick, cheating ass Belichick. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because this shit was so smooth, it had to be a plan. See, Matt's from New England. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I'm sure he has a take on Belichick and his cheating ways. What'd you say? What'd you say?
Cheating ways.
I mean, I don't think this is cheating. I think it was known that the Patriots had offered a trade for him, so he figured if he can get released, he can get to the team he wants to be on.
Right.
I mean, the league has said they're not investigating. I was criticizing him before we got him, so
right,
I'm just happy to have him now. But
many Pats fans were doing the same. I don't know if I want him. Yeah, I'll take him.
I mean, I was like, I don't know what our salary cap situation is. Is it worth spending that much money? Yeah, whatever, got it.
They're trying to investigate this situation to see if it wasn't
collusion.
No, some salty fans were saying that it feels like collusion, which yeah, I can understand why it feels like that, but ultimately it's going to be impossible to prove, and the NFL is saying, no, we're not investigating that.
The plan worked.
Right. So now no one's talking about that. They're talking about him personally.
Right.
Because they can't attack that. They could attack him. Right. But like I said, it just seems so sweet. Like, you know what I mean? He wanted to go there in the beginning. Pittsburgh, like, hell no, we're not sending you there. We're going to send your ass out here where your career could die. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he like, I bet.
Right. Kind of like Odell.
Right. You know, but he like, fuck it, then. You're gonna see me out there. I got something for y'all. Mm-hmm. I won't never play for them motherfuckers.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And executed his plan, and then ended up getting sent the way he wanted to go originally.
And he committed well to the plan, because like you, I'm a casual NFL fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? One, I didn't realize Antonio Brown had been playing for as long as he's been playing.
Right.
I thought he was fairly new. I didn't realize that. But, well, a couple things. You know, like, to that point where you, like, who the fuck I brought in? I thought he was, like I said, I didn't know a whole lot about him. I didn't know a whole lot about him. So when I was introduced to him most recently, I guess I seen him on the shop. You know what I'm saying? Because they were right. You know, the shop.
He was talking about that.
I think he said Ben one time, but he was doing a whole lot of old boy, you know, da da da. So I thought maybe it was the coach, you know what I mean? But what I like about the shop, it's interesting. The shop is really the shop for the most part. You know, they got their little, they get Kevin Hart, Lil Nas X, Charlamagne, all that, but like, they really be about some player shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what the whole shit is.
Yeah, it's uninterrupted. It's the players really talking about the ins and outs from their own perspective, right? And I seen how passionate the cat was about it. Like, you know, he felt the way. Like, I saw, there's been a series of that. Like, you seen that situation of the shop. You seen the Anthony Davis shit kind of play out a little bit on the shop. My other things, but
like,
you know,
it's like
that's there where they go to air their shit,
right? Because when you bust a move, the mainstream media is going to go ride against you.
Right. Now, this is the thing. I think there's a lot of different things to it. Of course, black man having some agency in his career is always threatening to an organization that still uses the word owner frequently. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're going to be honest. Like, no, let's be honest. Right. You know what I mean? Like, this black man saying, I want to do, because what I appreciate, that's my point, what I was most recently reintroduced after the shot was this whole shit going on with the helmet and all of this other shit. Mm-hmm. And people were like, yo, he's bugging out. Is he crazy? You know what I mean? And then when the shit went all the way through, You like, oh, this motherfucker's a diabolical genius.
Chris and I'm like, Jenner level.
That's what I, exactly. That's what I fuck with you. Speaking of which, did you? We'll get back to. We'll talk about the. We'll talk about that in a second. Speaking of Jenners, did you see the Blake Griffin going in on Caitlyn for the Alec Baldwin boat?
I did. Okay.
Anyway,
I did see it, but go ahead.
So I was like, oh, this nigga pulled a caper.
He pulled a serious caper.
Now people are respectful. Now people are like, I don't trust him now. You know what I mean? Right, before, yeah. He used to be crazy. Right. Now he's a little too savvy. This nigga here too savvy, but this, right.
We're going to see if he holds up under the Belichick program.
But I also feel like when you're a superstar athlete, you know what I mean? And we stay in particularly, like, maybe even football, but all of them. But, like, superstar athlete, you get coddled like a motherfucker. You the man. And, obviously there's got to be a culture within the sport, but within the locker room, within the team, where it's like, you know, there's typically no I in team. It was us. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We lost that game. It wasn't he lost that game, or you know what I mean? Like, typically from I never really played organized sports like that, but mm-hmm. that's kind of the gist that I got. Like, they were we all in it together type shit.
Right.
So it's almost like when you start pointing fingers, that is a violation, right. I would imagine. But then what I also see is I noticed that you know, there's always been this trend of when you're a good athlete, you're above it all. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're above the law. You don't really have to deal in the ethics of it all, or, you know what I mean? Like, if you do violate, they might, you know, apologize a little for you because you're Big Ben. You already got two Super Bowl rings. You're the star quarterback. You were here with the franchise before Antonio Brown was here, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Maybe this is your passive-aggressive way of getting, you know what I mean, asserting your power, right. And also, like, putting motherfuckers on notice,
right.
Which is some sucker shit.
Right.
You know
but
what I mean?
And you do it on the radio, blah, blah, blah. But the funny shit was at the end of this video,
uh-huh.
where they pointed out the last nuclear code
mm-hmm.
was when somebody had tweeted about Ben's rape cases.
Oh, yeah.
And how he beat the rape cases, and then Antonio Brown liked that shit.
Bleep, yeah. Bleep. Right.
Yeah,
that was petty.
You know what I'm saying? That's petty as fuck, but you know what I'm saying? You assert your passive aggressiveness. How about this for some passion?
Yeah, let's play all the way. We're going to be pettied all the way out. It's funny because it also, when I saw that clip of Ben Roethlisberger saying, you know, I think I earned the right. I think he said,
right.
I earned the right to be able to speak about people like this.
Right.
It's funny because I saw recently Jerry Jones say the same shit
right.
about, I think, Dak or Ezekiel.
Right.
He was like, you say, yeah, man, but look. And he held his gaze, which was real right. ill. He was like, I think I'm entitled. Me and Zeke got a relationship to where I could speak that way about, I could joke that way because I earned it.
Right.
And he held that shit like, challenge me if you want to, right. motherfucker.
Because I own you, motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Ben don't own no motherfucking body.
There was that.
Ben ain't paid no cost to be the motherfucking boss.
He got two rings.
But he, yeah, that's circumstantial.
And they prop him to be the man. Like, it's
he is.
He's the man. So
he is the man.
If he the
man.
But
if you're supposed to be the man and the motherfucking leader, then, you know what I'm saying? When they hold everybody like LeBron and all these other motherfuckers to leadership and all this
right.
shit, why they not holding this motherfucker to the same standards? Why he could go all and point fingers and shit when it don't go his way?
Nah, it's, you know, a sucker move.
But if Antonio Brown kicked the Gatorade cooler over, because he mad because Ben, you know what I'm saying, made a bad play in his eyes.
Well,
why he the motherfucking villain then?
Because Ben was mad at him. I think there's a hierarchy of offenses. Unfortunately, I think at all of these places, you know what I mean, like, there's the top dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And if you not the top dog, you go, even if you killing shit, you're going to feel a way. Like,
right,
I'm sure right. at Golden State, as dope as KD was, if Steph had a problem,
And that's why KD left.
And that's why KD left, right? But then, you know what I mean? Like, wherever LeBron is at.
It's Steph House.
Wherever LeBron is at. LeBron just got to L.A. That's his house.
But, I mean, come on.
That shit could be Cleveland right now.
Yeah, that's his house.
We don't want to hear from Lonzo.
But when you hear LeBron calling niggas out, people pull him to the carpet about it. You know what I'm saying? You should do. Use your leader. Da, 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 da. Take the blame. You know what I'm saying?
But that's the other thing, too. I also think, too, that's also another culture that surrounds sports that I'm sure, you know, that always bugs me out. I'm glad that shit don't surround comedy. But sports, it's nothing but analysts that sit around and scrutinize right. what you did
that's,
wrong.
That's their job.
That's a whole
that's an industry.
That's an industry of just Monday morning, Tuesday morning,
Wednesday
morning,
Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
quarterbacks
night love.
That's talking about, look, what he should have done. And the reason he's terrible and the reason he don't deserve
he is
X amount.
Worst.
You know what I mean? All of that.
In all of sports, I've never,
historically, if you look at his, you know.
It is the most diabolical thing ever seen in the history.
He is a villain.
All sports.
What all of that shit is just to get viewers.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
You know what I mean? Nobody want to hear no balanced.
Nah.
You know what? He dropped that pass, but you know what? His heart was in it.
Right.
You know, you could tell when he lined up at the line.
He is finished. He is washed. Get him out of here.
I heard he beats his girlfriend. Just always.
But they don't bring out that Ben shit, though. I heard he rapes girls.
They bring it up here and there. It's whispers. They loud whispers. They like Kobe. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas know. They call him Rapeless Burger. Like, they give him his. He razz him. You know what I'm saying? Right, right, right. But it's, you know, you get another ring. You know what I'm saying? Go score 81.
Right. But you see, that's the thing. You know what I'm saying? Like how you say, he the top dog, whatever, whatever. But then that whole team conversation is not in the conversation no more.
No.
You know what I'm saying? That's out the window now.
That's for high school.
You know what I'm saying?
What's the pros, baby? We get to, money here.
You know what I'm saying? He's selfish. He's da-da-da-da. This is a team sport.
Right.
There's 52 guys on this team.
Right.
Man, shut the fuck up. Because when it comes to certain people, y'all don't say shit when they do wild shit. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to the coach saying doing wild shit, y'all don't say shit. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah. That's true.
Shit, you know what I mean?
Speaking of, I want to put this on some type of media thing, but I knew this was going to be flipped like a sample. But speaking of AB, look at that shit. See that video?
Who's that, Tom Brady?
It's Tom Brady and Antonio Brown. So I'm sure if you've been on the internet in the last 48 hours, you've probably seen this meme. Well, not even a meme. This little video of these two little kids, one black kid, one white kid, and they're like in the middle of the street, like on the sidewalk. They're in the sidewalk of the city, and they running way far, and they run into each other, give each other a hug, and everybody's like, this is beautiful, and it's nice, it's good to see. But I knew once that shit started moving through the little, whatever you call that shit, the internet digestive system, I knew that was going to be fodder for sampling.
Yeah, but the thing about that whole thing is, when I saw it,
they let their kids run too far.
And when them kids was running that far, I was like, there are no black parents involved in the making of this video.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because the little black boy was with a white man. I don't know where the little white boy came from.
Because when they
turned the camera the other way, it was nothing but sidewalk.
And he was about 30 yards out of there. Like, he was about to run into traffic.
Right, and that's some real shit, because, like, when my kids were at schools with white kids,
mm-hmm.
white parents do let their kids, you know, go way down the block. You know, we like, hey, stay with me.
Somebody snatch your ass.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, now, they run all the way to the corner on there, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I see it.
Shit. Man, okay.
You always got to.
Then you got to explain to your kid, that's them.
Yeah. Because I've seen kids like that. You kind of got to find the parent. You're like, right. who kid is this? Who is this kid with?
Right.
Their parent be three blocks away. Like, oh, Jonathan. Yeah, fuck that.
Oh, he's fine. He's fine.
You feel responsible for the kid. Like,
he knows where to stop. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
Black person. Like, hey, hold up. Shorty, hold up, Shorty.
Come on now. Are you lost?
Where you going?
Little kid looking at, nigga, get out the way. Ah, oh, man, I'm trying to stop saying nigga. I swear I said at least 11 times on the podcast.
But with that video with Tom Brady's head and Antonio Brown's head, that's the thing. See, the Patriots playing that shit so smooth because he had the problems with Roethlisberger.
Right.
Now Tom Brady comes out and says, you know, he was down with the shit 1,000,000%.
Who said that?
Tom was an analyst that said Tom Brady, when Belichick hit Tom Brady and said that the deal was going to go.
Let's go with it.
Tom Brady said 100%. Then he came back and replied again, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. He was like, nah, 1,000,000% I'm in. And then said if he needs somewhere to stay, he can stay at my house until he figures out his living situation.
Look at that.
So that's how he's starting a relationship. But go ahead, Matt.
Matt want to get to
I was going
to
say, like, yeah, he's actually – they're living together at the moment was going to be my point.
So they are living together.
Yeah, they posted a picture today of the two of them.
Oh, that's adorable.
You know what I'm saying? So that's how they start.
And you know the Patriots and the Steelers are rivals.
Arch enemies.
So that shit is the best revenge.
That's the whole shit is we could have did this a long time ago. Right. You know what I'm saying? And it would have been done, but hey, you still gonna have to eat this poison because that's how Belichick do. Belichick don't lose. Motherfucker flat the balls. He do whatever the fuck. He plant the camera, see his spy. He got your whole playbook.
Let me ask you this. Do you truly feel like, or you think it's just a heel move? Do you truly feel like New England cheats?
Yes.
You're going with it?
Yes, of course. I mean, everybody cheats, though. Everybody cheats.
Okay.
Like, sports. So
is it cheating?
When you get to championships and shit, it's not easy to win a championship.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? That's not no easy shit
to
do.
So you saying everybody cheats?
I'm saying it takes a lot of motherfucking moving and grooving to win championships. And just like the dude who undercut what's the nigga name at the Clippers now? Kawhi and hurt his ankle. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Just like, you know what I'm saying? Everybody do their little things and have their people who do their little things. Just like when the Spurs won against Miami, when the air conditioning suddenly didn't work.
Yeah, you feel like it's some corruption in every championship.
Come on, man. You got to have your playbook together, not just on the court. You got a dossier on every other nigga on the other team.
Right.
All
right,
LeBron get cramps.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? My man right here fuck LeBron mama. Okay. This motherfucker right here gambles. You know what I'm saying? Steph, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. He got his whatever he got.
Right.
KD got whatever he got. Yeah. It's a dossier. And they trying to exploit all that shit. That ain't going to never be said on the ESPN, but this the conversation.
There you go.
And it's just speculation. But it ain't easy to win no championships. So everybody uses whatever leverage they could get. Mm-hmm. To win. That's why, you know what I'm saying? That's why motherfuckers get busted every year at the Super Bowl with prostitutes and shit. You know what I'm saying? But this shit ain't.
Like clockwork.
Like, come on, you ain't figured that trick out yet?
Mm.
They sending them at you, bruh.
You know what I'm saying? They might as well have on jerseys.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what the fuck?
Shit.
That's why I tell you to go to bed, man. Go to bed.
Yeah. That's the simple shit. Niggas don't want to do it.
Nah, they don't want to do it. It's like every star, every, you know what I'm saying, important player, they had a Achilles heel. Yeah. And, you know, it's people's job to figure that out and attack that shit.
Right.
So, because that little edge, you know what I'm saying, those 4 points that you might would have got if, you know what I'm saying, you weren't thinking about some other shit, you know what I'm saying, is now not on the board. And that could be the difference in the game. You know what I'm saying? Mm. If this motherfucker missed this kick, you know what I'm saying?
It's over for all of us. Whole shit was a wash.
So it's like, you know, you it would behoove you as a, you know what I'm saying, you trying to win a chip to have your people in place to understand what you're dealing with on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know what I'm saying?
Indeed, it gets devious.
It gets devious.
Speaking of devious, you want to do a quick Power recap before we send these folks home?
The telenovela known as Power.
Why you calling it a telenovela, man? Talk
to me. This shit is like the stories, man. You know what I'm saying? This shit is so...
Well, did you hear, because this is what I just realized. It's funny that they even calling this the final season. Mm-hmm. 48 hours after the final episode, Power Book 2 starts. So it is. I guess it's like wherever the Next Generation or the prequel. 50 was doing interviews today. He was like, "Yo, He said, you know, the show's not really stopping. Right. Shit is like the Trump administration. Reboot. Yeah, this shit coming back. So they said after about 48 hours after the finale,
or is it
Power Book 2.
So it's a different show.
It's a different show. Mary J. Blige is in the show. I don't know who else. Why he laugh at Mary?
Mary got an Oscar nomination.
She had an Oscar nomination, and then she was in that other one, the Umbrella Academy. I heard she was good in that.
Yeah, Mary has cleaned up her shit. You know what I'm saying? Mary is professional about her shit, and she's moving forward.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But
on this particular episode,
yeah,
I'm going to start by saying I feel like 50 did a great job directing.
Dog, he killed that shit. He opened up strong. He said when he got to the interview, he's like, I put 3 movies in that shit. You know what I'm saying? And it was a lot of nice little set pieces. That little shootout in the beginning,
right?
That was fire.
The sex scene was crazy.
That shit was crazy. That might have been the furthest they've gone. They've gone all the way.
That was better than, you know what I'm saying? The man with Lala.
That's what I'm saying. This shit was X video.
Yeah, so, you know what I'm saying? So I want to start by saying 50 did a great job with it. You know what I'm saying? Where the storyline is going in some cases, Like him sending Ghost and Anna to kidnap a motherfucker out of federal custody again.
Who they do that again?
Lobos. That's how they killed Lobos. Okay. They stole him, you know what I'm saying, between here and there on federal custody transport.
They be real Mayberry with it in the middle of New York City. How you going to just,
you know what I'm saying,
fucking El Chapo the shit out of shorty?
Right.
Nobody. First of all, Ghost, James St. Patrick, is now everybody's on everybody's radar. This nigga just show up with a hat on. That is disguise.
In a plumber uniform?
A hat on and a Carhartt jacket?
Come on, B.
Fuck out of here. That was what I was
all like. All right, y'all the EMTs, but ain't she a federal in federal custody and no fucking police ride in the EMT with y'all?
They just let y'all go up in there?
They just gonna follow y'all? Come on, get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying?
They had some thorough EMT outfits, though. They went hard. That was Halloween approved.
Okay, all good. What the fuck was James St. Patrick's plan? He in there by his motherfucker self. What was his plan?
I don't even know. His plan to do the same thing, to bring her back to home?
Yeah, but how he was gonna get her? He ain't had no drugs. He ain't had nobody on the inside. It was just him. He was going to snatch it in the elevator? He was going to make the elevator break down?
He was going to make the elevator break. I don't even know.
He going to snatch it up with all them cameras with his fucking face?
That was weird.
Come on, B.
That was weird. All right, so that you didn't like that. What else? So let's get into it.
Shit. I don't like that Tariq getting set up right now, seem to be.
Who he getting set up by?
She like the girl is the police.
You think she police?
Yeah, she asks too many fucking questions. Who's your connect?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. When you going to have more?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Is that it? You know, so that's a little weird.
Mm-hmm. He doing too much with that fucking diamond plug chain.
Right.
The fuck out of here, nigga. You a choked. On a diamond plug chain, trying to be discreet about your drug solicitation.
He went from low key to I'm out here.
Yeah.
I'm the man around
here. Nino Brown.
Yeah. So that was it. You know what I'm saying? Other than that, it's interesting. Tommy bringing Keisha in the spot just to take her on tour.
That was like when
these are my drugs.
That's like when motherfucker bring his girl to the barbershop. You know what I mean? That was just highly unnecessary. Nigga, we ain't need to see all that.
Right.
But, you know, it kind of paid off because he had her help with the caper and empowered her because now she's been in the mix.
Right.
This the second time that he kind of let her get it off and get in there.
Right.
And slowly but surely, she's into the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? She's like, yo, don't even worry about Tasha. I could do this shit without her. Whereas seasons ago, she wasn't fucking with no parts of that shit. Now she all in. I think that's going to take a tragic
turn. Now she all in, got her kid all in. Like, what about me and the kid? Like, that ain't Tommy
kid. What's the kid doing? What you got the kid?
No, she was just like, you know what I'm saying? Her kid is right there living with her, but she got Tommy there. This nigga, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Goes out to kill him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She like, I'm not going nowhere. Me and, what are the little boy name?
Cash.
Me and Cash going to stay. We here. We down. Yeah. Cash like, shit, I ain't signed up for this shit.
Cash is like, yo, who is this dude?
who the fuck is your boy?
Yeah, what's going on here?
So that's a little...
We looking like, Cash, who are you?
And believe me, shit like that happens. You know what I'm saying? I'm, I've seen it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that is
it's part of the game.
That's not out the way. You know what I'm saying? It happens. But it's just happening so fast and against her character. You know what I'm saying? For somebody that was always against it, that done fell out all the way out with her best friend about it, to be all in now is a little strange.
I hate to see my black guy get shot up, go out. I forget brother man name. Brother.
Oh, police?
Brother Fad. Yeah.
Brother Fad. Shout out to Brother Fad.
Brother Fad, you know, got rocked. After he done did all of that for the dude's daughter.
Right.
He done did all of this display of
protection.
Protection and gymnastics. And, you know, caught a bullet in his head and told he was a bitch-ass nigga as he's getting
old
shot.
Old bitch-ass nigga. Ain't nobody actually do that shit. Blah, blah, blah.
Damn, Dre. You 50, fucking ungrateful motherfucker.
50 did a good job, man, because the blood on the baby, that shit was, that's.
Yeah, that was supposed to make you be like, oh.
It was like, oh, it's like, that's fucked up, Dre.
Yeah.
But that was just a nice touch.
But the baby was like, this wasn't the first time she had blood on her face. She was like, ah, come on, Dre.
Baby, she don't know.
Huh?
She don't know. No, she's just experiencing life as it's coming.
And baby looked like she didn't wash some blood off her face before. Like, come on, Dre, I told you. Hold me on the other shoulder. You gonna kill a nigga. Bitch ass nigga. Damn. Oh, after you did all of that. Yeah, I knew this was gonna happen. Shit, I left you and your baby. Sitting in there.
You know what I'm saying? Shit, motherfucker.
That shit. I can't think of anything else I missed.
But the after show. Let's talk about the after show.
I don't watch the after show.
You said
Confidential?
You
watch it. No, I never told you that.
With Terrence J.
No,
you didn't watch
that? I don't watch that shit. No, you watch it?
I'll be watching that shit.
Shout out to that.
That shit's so fucking funny because Terrence J. be looking like he at the disco. I think we have like a shiny shirt with a big ass chain on. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Ain't you the host, Terrence?
It's that shit.
He trying to, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's, even 50 being a suit and shit. This nigga got on a disco shirt, button down and shit. Like, where is Terrence?
What they do on after show?
They talk. It's like a produced. I mean, they could take it back to really the regular.
It's like a kickback or some shit. Do they talk about the actual episode?
Yeah, they talk about the episode.
Okay.
But they do it in a very. It's more produced than it used to be. And again, it's on a set. Uh-huh. Terrence J got on the disco outfit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like the after Soul Train.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like Soul Power.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Niggas is dancing in the background.
They should be.
DJ.
That's what it looked like it should be, the way he dressed.
It felt more like a party than anything.
But it's not. It's three people, four people sitting down. It's just the way he dressed.
Okay.
Make it look like he looked like he on a flyer. He looked like he on a flyer.
I never watched that.
like a fake ass Trey Songz on the flyer and shit.
Oh man.
But you know what I'm saying? It's just that he way too dressy to take serious.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it almost ends up as comedy. Like me and my wife always end up laughing at this, whatever the fuck going on because he got on all this shit.
It's like James Lipton on some real fly shit.
It's like motherfucking like Don Cornelius and shit. But like he at the club. Like Don Cornelius was at the club, so he had on the disco suit.
It's a music thing.
You know what I'm saying? He had on a disco suit with bell bottoms and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Afro collars popped out.
I'm going to check one of them out, see what it's about.
I mean, stay there on the demand. Just hit that shit. That shit is funny.
How long do they go for? About an hour, half an hour?
Nah, they go about 15 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's not too bad.
At the most. Let me just ask questions about the episode and shit.
Yeah.
50 be
Courtney on there or no?
Nah, they always go to Courtney via satellite.
Oh, okay.
So
Courtney always want to make it look like she working.
Because that's her shit.
No, but I mean, it's
that's good branding.
It's very good branding. It's like, look, I'm not for all of the bullshit. I'm here getting these scripts together at all times.
Let's get this paper. And the thing is, I'm really not a big fan of the after show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm a fan of, okay, let's look a little deeper into it.
Right.
With the writer, showrunner, whoever the fuck, who could give me some real. Because at this point, you're looking for information.
Right.
You're not looking for
insight.
You know, it's not going to be as entertaining as the show. So, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Let's stop it. Let's just give me the bare bones. What the fuck was you thinking? What the shit was about? It's like when Insecure went to an after show. Insecure has an after show where that shit is really, you know what I'm saying? It's like a kickback. This season they was by the pool and shit.
Yeah, I remember
you know what I'm saying? Three motherfuckers outside in LA by the pool. Yeah. I don't need all this. know what I'm saying? Just give me the, you know what I'm saying? Give me some brass tacks. We keep moving.
Because it feels more like content than actual a supplement.
But see, it's supposed to be content. And it's like, but I understand it because in my career, right,
mm-hmm.
the type of content you do when you're doing branded content, it's like, okay, this shit is good enough to be TV, but not all the way good enough.
Right.
So it's like stuck in some content purgatory.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So these after shows, they are snazzy produced, but they not good enough to really be their own show.
Right.
So it turns into like, okay, we ain't had to do all this.
Yeah, it looked unnecessary.
Right.
Because it's a different vibe. It's not a supplement. It's not like you said. Like, it's not like the people that really worked on it that's saying the reason behind this scene.
I mean, it is, but you got all this shit around
it's
it.
Too much other shit.
Right. You could have just went ahead and, you know what I'm saying, like how where it seemed like Courtney, like, I don't need to do all that shit. Just, you know what I'm saying, shoot me in my fucking office.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? She give you the shit you need to know.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then you go back to the set. Now we're back on the set. Let's play this game. Right. Nigga, we not here to play games.
Oh, they playing games.
Yeah, they play a game. Let's go.
Game.
Let's go to the people on the street. You know what I'm saying? They had the intro contest
they
shit.
Trying to get a shot. That's like, a budget move.
Yeah, it's definitely a budget move. But it's done in a way that's good, but it's too good for after show content, but not good enough for its own thing.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's somewhat stuck in the middle.
Interesting.
And I think it's in the right direction. I just think something need to change in that after show shit.
You know, I was actually thinking about that. I didn't watch the after show, but I was actually thinking to myself, and it might not even been particularly for Power. It could have been for Power and or Snowfall. But I was like,
I ain't never seen an after show Snowfall.
No, what I'm saying, I wasn't even talking about the after show. I'm talking about
previews.
No, like recaps. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of I don't know, a lot of people. Like a big industry started off the strength of recaps. A lot of people made big money. You know, they recaps turned into the after show type right. of thing, right? Like, I'm watching the on Netflix. They, you know, they do the 90s, the 80s, the whatever. So they got the 2000s on it. Then the first episode, it was talking about TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Alan Sepinwall on there. Alan Sepinwall, I guess now he works for Rolling Stone. I don't know if he worked for Rolling Stone beforehand. But I used to always read his recaps for Mad Men. Them shits like Mad Men would come on, whatever, 9 p.m. on Sunday. His recap would probably be out by that midnight.
Right.
And he'd have like a little leading line that'd make a joke based on the last episode. It's probably about 1,000 words on whatever, whatever. Well done, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This, maybe this was because of that. And if you notice this, like, nerd it out. You right. know what I'm saying? Because right. that's that. If you the person that's going to the supplement
right.
material,
mm-hmm.
you've crossed the threshold to where you ready to nerd out. Let's right. get all the way in there.
Right.
And to your point, it feels like this is a little bit more fly.
Yeah, and see, I think if you took away the people who worked on the show, like 50 and the actors,
right.
and you know what I'm saying, and you somebody who's just somebody who watched this shit and about to break this bitch down,
right.
that shit might be more entertaining.
Absolutely.
Because that's what you go to Twitter for. You know yeah. what I'm saying? So to watch, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you could get 50 in there saying that, but that could be real quick. Just about the show, just about the characters, just about him directing. I don't need to play the, you know what I'm saying,
right.
the Get Rich Town fucking Power theme song challenge with them and all. I don't need all that.
Right.
I want the shit that's going to entertain me now after the show is, you know, the talk around it mm-hmm. and the motherfucking review and the criticism.
Yeah. But what I was, yeah, to that point, I don't know if there is one, if there's a good, funny or good, somebody out there that's doing a Power recap each week or mm-hmm. even a Snowfall recap this week, right. each week, let me know. Because I always like, a lot of motherfuckers have come up. Shout out to all of the like writers, personalities, comics and shit like that, that have kind of established a nice bit of a platform mm-hmm. off the strength of their recaps.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's a lane that I don't know if a lot of people, I don't want to say celebrate, but like point out, say, yo, that shit, it might have merged into this now talk back after right. show type of thing, but there was a lot of, just in the written form,
yeah,
there's a lot of cats getting, you know,
building their byline up and building their name up just off of their breakdowns, and they be funny than a motherfucker.
And then,
so.
And then you had a lot of Game of Thrones recap people on YouTube, but they be mostly like, they break them shits all the way down. You even had like, and I didn't know about it, but I came across it reading content news somewhere.
Right.
And they had a whole group of guys that came up off of Game of Thrones doing the Gay of Thrones, like the gay recap of the Game of Thrones.
Flipping
and shit.
It.
You know what I'm saying? So, yes, yeah, definitely a cottage industry.
It's a whole
in recaps. But I think the actual show recaps on after show recaps could use that infusion of authenticity.
Right. Or like critique, like they study. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if there's anybody out there doing something for Power or Snowfall in particular, let me know. Hit me to it, because it's probably somebody out there putting up some good content that I haven't gotten to yet.
Right.
Speaking of which, before we get out of here, I mean, Snowfall was a bit of a doozy, but I got a question. Was that a dream sequence?
I doubt that was dream. I don't know. Snowfall be having my head hurt, man.
Cause
be like, cause you be too. I be too invested. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'll be there. I'll be in 1984 California West Side. I be right in the middle of that shit.
So West Side, you know, Dub C.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
Yeah, that's his dialect coach.
Dub C is the dialect coach for the British dude who plays Franklin. That shit blew my whole fucking shit.
Oh, you didn't know he was British?
Nah, I mean, I knew he was British, but I had never heard him talk.
Uh-huh.
But when he did the shit and then said Dub C was his fucking coach.
Which is dope. Dub C as a dialect coach is fucking hilarious.
That is the American dream. That is hip hop. You know what I'm saying?
Come up.
It's like, but the thing that I like what dude did, I don't even know his real name.
I'd have used MC8. The thing, Damnness.
But MC8 from Compton.
Right.
So they needed a West Side cat.
Okay, fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? So the thing that I like that he did was that he went back and forth between his regular voice and his imitation of Dub C. Right. That shit was dope. Yeah. And that let you really hear the California shit in him. You know what I'm saying?
Now he go hard.
Yeah, that shit was dope.
Speaking of which, I saw this one clip where they was on Sway in the Morning. They were saying they had a better show than Game of Thrones. Did you see that shit?
Who had a better show than Game of Thrones?
Snowfall. They were like, yo.
I mean, to my personal degree, yes.
But
in real life, no. Stop it.
Hilarious. You know what I mean? On the strength, because I fuck with them, I'm going to say yeah.
No,
but
I'm just saying.
Being honest.
No, as a personal, my relationship to it, it's definitely a lot stronger than Game of Thrones because, you know what I'm saying, that's us. That's my era.
You feel seen.
You know what I'm saying? You understand that shit, and I respect this little shit that they do to let you know they really do this shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you know, production-wise and all that shit, come on, man, brother.
They said this season 3 finale is so crazy. Because that's what they were basing it on. This is a few weeks ago, too. Mm-hmm. This is like when it first came out, Game of Thrones might have still been on the air. Like, they might have, or they might have just, they, you know, the news was, like, Game of Thrones finale might have just happened. So, like, you know, it was in the topics, and it was kind of in summation type shit. Like, this was the last big boy show. You know what I mean? They were like, yeah, I shit better than that. And in a way,
I mean,
that was,
probably could be better than the last season of Game of Thrones.
And they were like, but more importantly, they teased this season 3 finale, saying it's so crazy. And off the strength of these last two episodes, if they feel like the season 3 finale is crazy, I take their word for it, because these last two episodes were stupid.
Right. I mean, the two things that I did learn this week, and I knew I see his name, but you know, I didn't really put it two and two together. When you find out Dub C was a dialect coach and that Walter Mosley was the consultant on it, you know what I'm saying, with his whole shit with Star Trek getting, he resigned from Star Trek because he was in the writer's room for Star Trek, and he said nigga in the writer's room in relation to a story he was telling about something the police had said in L.A. or something. And somebody went to HR and snitched.
Hilarious.
And said this black guy saying nigga in the
this black guy Walter fucking Mosley,
you know what I'm saying, the old niggerish nigga in the game said nigga in the writer's room, and they were like, well, you can't say that, da 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 da, blah blah blah. He resigned from the shit, walked away. Amen. I was like, yeah, listen, brother, As long as you don't resign from Snowfall. You know what I'm saying?
Same nigga in the sea. I think you can do it there.
Because it's like, for real. Uh-huh. And I didn't know much about Walter Mosley. I had to go look it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And to know that he did Devil in the Blue Dress, right?
Yeah.
Which, and going into it, I thought it was some white movie. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was about. I know Denzel was in it. Right. I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Right.
But as you know, in One Direction that movie was, that shit really touched on a lot of black shit with real authenticity as well.
Oh, Walter's a beast.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when, I didn't read the book, but in the movie, just like the character Denzel played as that black man that lives in that house,
mm-hmm.
that's always cutting his grass and mm-hmm. shit, guy, you know, he blue collar, but you know, keep his shit together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a role you don't really ever see on TV, but that's a real black neighborhood role.
You know, to that point, well, two things. One, if you want to learn more about Walter Mosley, because I had known about Devil in the Blue Dress.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read the book all the way through. I don't even think I seen the movie. I know mm-hmm. Cheadle and Denzel. I might have seen some of it. I know, but I know he's a beast. But most recently, he did the Jemele Hill podcast mm-hmm. a few weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Just if you want to see the type of motherfucker he on, like type uh-huh. of shit, you should listen to it, because right. he's official. But the other thing, and what did you just say? You said the
Denzel, that character, black man in that neighborhood.
Ah, nigga. I fucking forgot. It was something about Walter Mosley. Da-da-da-da-da. It's too late.
But anyway.
Shit is gone, but go ahead.
Also,
go ahead.
Don Cheadle. That's what I was getting to. Don yeah. Cheadle in that movie
uh-huh.
was that cousin that you motherfucking know.
Yeah.
Denzel, as pulled together as he was, he worked his job.
He was Mouse, right?
Yeah, Mouse. Had uh-huh. his little house, kept his yard clean.
Right.
When shit got thick, he had to call his cousin Mouse from New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mouse had that one gold tooth.
Yeah.
And he came through and laid shit down for him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that surprised me in that movie, because I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't even know it was going to go in that direction.
Right.
But the way that Don Cheadle
Thanks
played.
For spoiling it for me, bro.
Fuck out of here. You want to watch that shit? Like, why are we talking about like it? From 1986.
I clearly said, you know, I ain't seen the whole movie.
Man,
the
you just
said, here comes the spoiler of spoilers.
You done walked through the whole Power.
It's all good.
You done, we walked it's through
Snowfall. I say, man, I say thank you. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, Don Cheadle played a good role, and it was a very relatable role.
Yeah.
So Walter Mosley and John Singleton together is like, oh.
Well, that was the point.
That's why Snowfall is so dope.
That was the point I wanted to make. So I was watching. Have you watched any of the Wu-Tang?
Not yet. I got it queued up. It's on one of my tabs.
I fucks with it.
And,
I like it. I like it, but I like it. It's different. This is the thing. I like it. I was telling my homie, shout out to Duke. I was talking to him about this shit because it's like, I guess it's like the origin story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not like everything isn't based on what you know about the Wu. It's kind of like how they were living prior to it, and you know, like it's like a full on like family story. You know what I'm saying? Like it's
like
an after school special? No, it's not an after school special. It's not an after school special. It's got a little elements in it where it's like the entire family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But nah, they get it cracking in there. But it's like I was telling my homie, I was like, yo, it's a good thing that I know that they're going to be Wu-Tang, because this shit is, it feel like good times a little bit.
Right, right,
like, you
right.
know what I mean? Like The Wire type shit. Like, not as raw, but I appreciate that they fleshing out.
That they get out.
Yeah, that they not all locked in the studio and they not in their personas every time. Like, this is Bobby, this is Dennis. This is, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is before they Ghostface. You know what I mean? And it's just like them living in the world that they doing a lot of the shit that lays the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly a lot of the shit is real, but there's things that happen in that shit that you like, oh shit, nigga, I didn't even know that. You know what I'm saying? Right. That's how I went down. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but yeah, I like it, man. It is what the point was. To that point, they had on the Breakfast Club, they had a few people, but they had the kid Shameik on there, but then they had the RZA, Erica Alexander, who plays RZA's moms, and the kid Ashton.
That's crazy. She plays my mama.
Right.
She was the fine black girl on
right.
Single.
No, but yo, check this out. So, but that was her point. She was like, you know, as we get into these new generations, it's like there's a lot of black people telling their own stories. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? For years and years, it was just like white people telling their stories or the how they saw, you know, black people. But now it's like with these biopics and things like that and all of the, like, the source material that they have to draw upon, you know what I mean? Even mm-hmm. if we just say in the last 20, 30 years, there's way more black stories coming about with mad nuance because it's black people telling their own stories. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you're going to start seeing more of the, like, oh, yeah, now they got that right. You know what I'm saying? The Walter Mosley's in the room and whomever that were, like, they were there. They were, you know what I mean? Like, they was in the building. You know what I'm saying? And they, no, you said that wrong. Say it like this. This was the slang that they used to say. I cut that out because that shit wasn't around at that point, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's going to be, we got the historians and we got the, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. it's going to be cool to, you know, look forward to that shit.
Fired up.
So anyway. Speaking about looking forward, where you gonna be this week?
I'm gonna be here, man. I'm gonna be right in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Word it up. Shout outs to Brooklyn.
There you go.
Casting over two times, Fabo.
So Brooklyn. You seen who you been listening to some of them those verses, the So Brooklyn Challenge?
I just saw the main shit today. Cause when
the video just dropped today.
Was it today?
Yeah, I think
so. He posted that shit so long ago.
They posted a teaser. Yeah, the video.
I forgot about that shit. He posted a teaser about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I forgot. And then I just saw something pop up. I clicked on it. Yeah. Watched that shit today.
They did that. They had the so many challenges. They had the So Brooklyn Challenge, the Fab verse. Then I think Mano did a joint. I forget who else. A few cats did it. Then I seen, like, you know, other cities. So I saw the So Philly Challenge. And shout out to Chill Moody because he put some shit up. That nigga got busy. Word. So, yeah, shout out to that man. He got busy. $5,000. He got busy. Yeah. It's cool. It's like, you know, these challenges, you know what I mean? Yeah, they opening up motherfuckers to get their shit off.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to tell you that one tab challenge is the future. But anyway,
you know what I mean? You catch me on the ground, man. Shit. Motherfucker Twitter. At Mr. Muhammad.
All right, well, that's what it is. I'll be at Eastville Comedy Club this entire weekend, Thursday through Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Come through. And I'll also be at the Stand on the 22nd for Smokes and Jokes. That should be cool. And I told y'all I'll be at the Borgata at the end of the month. So y'all check that out. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yes.
To be in the conversation.